Welcome to Garden of Eden Ministries. You are welcome here. Our ministry is an online ministry focused on strengthening and equipping the Bride of Christ to finish her end-time mission. We have prayer calls Monday and Tuesdays at 7:30 a.m. and Bible studies on Monday and Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Go to our website to find out more at www.gom.us. Do you want trustworthy Christian news? Then follow Dr. June Knight Weir on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Dr. June Knight Weir. Thank you for checking us out. God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Tuesday morning. I hope everybody's doing well. I'm very excited to announce that we are working in the book of Acts now. We are going to experience Paul. We are going to experience the apostles and what happened to them after Jesus left them. You know, Jesus left them, as we learned yesterday in chapter 1, and said, I must go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Now, a supernatural thing happened whenever Jesus died on the cross. He made the temple within. So now, instead of like the Old Testament where they had the Holy Spirit come upon them for mighty acts, now the Holy Spirit is indwelling the person. It's like I tell children when I talk to them about the Holy Spirit, I tell them the Holy Spirit is the same in a child as it is an adult. The Holy Spirit is your superhero. It's your Superman on the inside of you. It's your power. It's your juice. So before we get started in the book of Acts, I want to announce that I'm very excited. Tomorrow morning, I will be interviewing Brian Mitchell. The people that study the news will really enjoy this interview. So that's at 9 o'clock in the morning. I also want to invite everybody to our women's retreat. Go ahead and make plans to be here. I'm very excited about it. Since we're starting the Friday night prayer meetings at the farm, I'm excited to see what's going to happen between here and there. I mean, we didn't even know that God was going to have us do this before we started this women's conference and moved it to September. So the people that come here, no telling what they're going to be stepping into. I'm excited about it. You know, expectancy, like Pastor Parsley says, expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. And that's what I'm believing God to do here on the farm starting next Friday. Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the chapter that we're going to get into today. Acts chapter 2 marks a turning point in the story of the early church through the event of Pentecost. Gathered together in Jerusalem, the disciples experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit like a rushing wind and flames of fire, empowering them to speak in many languages so that people from different nations can understand them. Acts 2 emphasizes unity across cultural and linguistic boundaries and shows how fear and uncertainty are transformed into courage and public witness. Peter's sermon connects these events to God's promises throughout history and invites listeners into a new way of life shaped by repentance, baptism, and community. Let me just pause here. That's another way, another reason to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The conviction, it's like a, you know, the New Agers have spirit animals. They're like spirit guides. But now people are actually using ChatGPT as a spirit guide. Asking advice. Even as we learned on the news last night, asking it how to kill itself, how to kill other people. And this thing is telling them how to do it. I mean, such an evil partner that they're seeking, you know. But the Holy Spirit always lifts up Jesus. Jesus always lifts up the Father. Isn't that something? This chapter closes with a powerful image of the early believers sharing meals, praying together, caring for one another, and living in deep fellowship, offering one of the clearest portraits of the early Christian community in the New Testament. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started here, and let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that as we asked you yesterday to bring this word to life, that you will be faithful to your word just like you always have been. When we ask you, when we do Bible studies, to bring this to life to us, and you always do. So we thank you for honoring your word today in Acts chapter 2 as we study, and we pray that all the spirits will be filled with what this chapter has to impart to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, I just got to say, you know, when in the news, because I always like to compare like what we learn with this. In the news, we talk about the hive mind, the Christ consciousness, as they call it, the global consciousness, the we are one, you know. This is where they're trying to build the Tower of Babel, you know, where they want to be in one accord in one place. But in this case, with the Lord, these disciples were in one mind, one accord, gathered together. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, can you imagine that? We're going to watch a video at the end of this that will probably give you a good visual of this. But can you imagine being in that room and being in one accord with everybody, and then you're just waiting on the Holy Spirit to come? You know, if you think about all of them in the prayer room whenever Jesus was resurrected, and Mary came to the door, knocking on the door, hey, you know, Jesus is alive. And they're like, no, he's not, you know. And they're like, she's like, yes, he is, you know. Imagine what these disciples, the same ones that were there for that, have now heard from Jesus, wait, and I will send the Holy Spirit. So they're probably thinking, I'm waiting on a man to walk through this door. Can you imagine? Y'all know how we do, you know, when we're all expecting something, you sit there and you get these visuals in your head and, you know, what you expect these things to look like when it arrives. I can almost guarantee that none of them expected it to happen the way it did. A rushing mighty wind. He blew in with the wind and filled the house where they were sitting. I mean, just sit there and think about that for a minute. Can you imagine what that was like? When the wind entered the room, Acts 2:1 describes the arrival of the day of Pentecost. When Jesus's followers were gathered with one accord in one place, this moment signifies the fulfillment of Christ's promise to send the Holy Spirit, marking the birth of the Christian church and the empowerment of believers to spread the gospel. The day of Pentecost occurs 50 days after Passover. This was a major Jewish festival, the Festival of Weeks, that celebrated the wheat harvest and the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Its timing signifies a transition from the old covenant to the new. When they say with one accord, this reflects profound unity. The early believers were completely unified in their faith, purpose, and expectation, eagerly waiting for God's promised Spirit as instructed before Jesus' ascension. When it says in one place, it's a physically gathered in Jerusalem. This unified group of about 120 people was suddenly met with the sound of a rushing wind and tongues of fire. Isn't that beautiful? Symbolizing the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember yesterday when I was telling you guys about my experience when I got filled? And I told you that when I was demon-possessed and the devil told me that he was going to kill me, it was a blackness come over me and cold, dark. But when the light shined on me, when the glory of God shined on me, it was warm and hot. It's funny how that is when you think about hell being on fire and hell being hot. But in heaven, around God's throne is fire. So whenever God's manifestation is there, when his presence is there, it's very warm, very soft, you know. Okay, let's look at this. In verse 4, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. Acts 2:4 describes the birth of the Christian church on the day of Pentecost when followers of Jesus were filled with the Holy Spirit and miraculously spoke in other languages, enabling them to preach the gospel to a diverse international crowd. The Holy Spirit's empowerment. Being filled signifies the Holy Spirit coming to permanently indwell and completely empower believers for ministry, fulfilling Jesus' promise in Acts 1:8. The tongues as known languages. The word for tongues means actual human language. The diverse crowd of Jews from every nation under heaven heard the apostles praising God in their own native dialects. Global evangelism. The supernatural event removed linguistic and cultural barriers, symbolizing God's message of salvation intended for all nations rather than just the Jewish people. Now, this is the difference because the Jewish people actually do not want anyone converting to Judaism. But in Christianity, our job is the outreach to have everyone convert to Judaism. And I'm going to say something pretty controversial, but I just want to say this because of the way that the enemy is using this against the church right now. So I want to go ahead and address this while it's on my spirit. Okay, when we took the United States of America, when we took this land and we took the natives and led them to Christianity, the way that the media, the powers that be out there, are displaying this action of evangelism to win people to Jesus as a cult, because they're saying that these people were over there trying to convert them over to the king's way type of deal, you know, the monarchy. But the people that, you know, left England, they wanted to have a place to worship God. Do you know what I mean? And so they took the land here and they dedicated it to the Lord. Now, of course, we do have this Noahide Law movement, where they're trying to erase the history of the Christian founding, and they're trying to put in this Judeo-Christian, that it was more Jewish in the founding than it actually was. So we have in this country a real battle over the identity of our country. But I do want to tell you that one of the reasons that I believe that we are the Great Babylon is because Mystery Babylon is because of our evangelism. We came here as evangelists and did that all the way. We have been the biggest evangelistic country in the world, sending out people all over the world, which now, you know, they're really dogging it, you know, saying that, you know, these are white supremacists that went out trying to, you know, make everybody American or whatever. But it's not that. It's that they were trying to evangelize the world, just like what the Bible says. We have the Great Commission. And hopefully through this study of the book of Acts, we will see a lot of the miracles, and it will charge us to have the courage to trust the Holy Spirit to go out and for us to begin evangelizing, you know, and having more courage in how to deal with people type of deal. I know for me and Dennis, you know, God is calling us now to get more involved in our community, and it's more of an outreach thing, you know. So let's continue here. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard him speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these men which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine," trying to say they were drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of those days in my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will he suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance, with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, and whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your foes a footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were all pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, your children, and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. Wow! And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such that has been saved. Isn't that amazing how they preached, how the Holy Ghost came upon him to preach the gospel? Boy, he preached it right to him. Because see, that's how the Holy Spirit is. He knows how to talk to the people. So amazing. All right, now I'm going to show you guys. Well, let me say this real quick. Fire that changes lives. This is part of that study that we're partnering with on the Jesus.net. In Acts 2, what was awaited in the previous chapter happens. What began with people praying in an upper room culminates in a breakthrough, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. During the Jesus Feast of Pentecost, they suddenly hear the sound of a mighty wind. Tongues as of fire appear, and ordinary people begin to speak in languages they have never learned, words inspired by the Holy Spirit. The international crowd outside hears it and is confused. Then Peter stands up, the same Peter who denied Jesus weeks earlier, now speaks with boldness, and his message is clear. Jesus is Lord and Messiah. The people who hear it are deeply touched. Peter invites them to repentance, to baptism, to a new life. That day, 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus. The new community of Christians interacts with one another like a large family. They share their lives, their possessions, and their time. All joy and simplicity characterize their daily experience, existence. Acts 2 shows what happens when God pours out His Spirit. Hearts are touched, Jesus is placed at the center, and a community is formed that makes His love visible. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, now this is a visual of when the Holy Spirit came the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Here we go.
Here is how it happened. It was a strange day, unlike any other. We were all gathered in one place, hiding in the upper room. You see, just days before, our Lord Jesus had ascended into heaven. Before He left, He promised us the Holy Spirit, but we didn't fully understand what He meant or what to expect. We were scared, uncertain, and clinging to each other for comfort and strength. As we sat there, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where we were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared and rested on each of us. In that moment, we were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave us utterance. The noise was so loud that it drew a crowd. People from all over Jerusalem, from every nation under heaven, came together in amazement. They were bewildered because each one heard us speaking in his own language.
"Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans?"
they asked.
"And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language?"
"And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done."
Some were amazed and perplexed, asking one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked us, saying,
"They are filled with new wine."
I stood up with the 11 and raised my voice to address the crowd.
"Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.'"
After Jesus returned to heaven, his friends remembered his promise.
"Stay in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit will come."
So the disciples returned to the city. They gathered together in a house. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with them. Together, they prayed. They waited. They trusted that Jesus would keep his promise. For many days, they prayed and waited, just as Jesus had told them. Then one day, something amazing happened. Many days passed. Then a great feast arrived in Jerusalem. It was called Pentecost. People came from many different lands to celebrate. They spoke many different languages. The city was full of visitors. But inside the house, the disciples were still praying together. Suddenly, something unexpected began. All at once, a powerful sound filled the house. It was like the roaring of a mighty wind. The sound came from heaven and filled every room. The disciples looked around in wonder. Then they saw something even more surprising. Small flames of fire appeared above them. The flames rested over each person, but the fire did not burn them. This was the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Spirit of God, the gift Jesus had promised. The Holy Spirit gave the disciples a special power. They began to speak in many different languages, languages they had never learned before. Outside, people heard the noise and gathered together. Soon, a great crowd stood around the house. The people were amazed.
What is happening? I can understand them perfectly.
Are these men not Galileans? How can they speak our languages?
They heard the wonderful works of God, and they understood every word. Before Pentecost, the disciples had often been afraid. But now the Holy Spirit filled them with courage. St. Peter stood up in front of the crowd. He spoke loudly so everyone could hear. He told them about Jesus. He told them about his miracles. He told them how Jesus died on the cross and how God raised him from the dead. Peter told the people that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior of the world. Many people listening felt something change in their hearts. They asked Peter,
"What shall we do?"
"Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ."
That day, thousands of people believed. They were baptized, and they became followers of Jesus. That day, the church began to grow. Some people even call Pentecost the birthday of the church. From that day on, the disciples were no longer afraid. The Holy Spirit helped them preach the gospel. They traveled to many lands. They told people everywhere about Jesus. And the church continued to grow. Even today, the Holy Spirit still guides the church. The same Spirit who came at Pentecost still helps Christians love God, speak the truth, and share the good news with the world. And the church continues the mission that began on that amazing day in Jerusalem.
Isn't that beautiful when you think about, you know, how God gave us the Holy Ghost and
how heard the noise and gathered.
How amazing that is to go from the old covenant to the new covenant. You know, we've talked about that a lot, the difference of the two covenants. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus opened the door for the Holy Spirit to come, to bring the temple within, to help us to live it in the earth. Isn't that amazing? What an awesome chapter today, guys. What an awesome chapter. Well, that's all I have for you. We finished chapter 2, so I will see you next week. Y'all have a great day. God bless.